Duke University Health System is one of HIMSS's most recent Davies Award winners. And whenever possible, we like to get the award winners on our podcast. I had a chance to do just that at HIMSS 19 in Orlando, where Dr. Jeannie McPeak Hintz and I discussed the Davies process, and we also examined how Duke views its use of technology to improve care and outcomes. Dr. McPeak Hintz is the Associate CMIO at Duke. We touched on what drives the organization to push for continuous improvement in its processes, the role of technology in its Davies win, and some pretty impressive changes in readmission rates. All that coming up in just a moment. If your organization is curious about applying for a Davies Award, and we hope you are, here's a little bit of background information on how the process works. First of all applicants must be validated as a Stage 7 on one of the HIMSS Analytics maturity models or have a stage validation scheduled during the submission cycle. The qualifying HIMSS Analytics maturity models include the EMR adoption model, or the MRAM, the outpatient EMR adoption model, the adoption model for analytics maturity, the infrastructure adoption model, and the continuity of care maturity model. What you'll have to do is submit 3 use cases describing the clinical problem, the technology interventions, workflow, and the use of analytics to facilitate rapid cycle quality improvement. You'll also have to show data demonstrating a minimum of 1 year of improved adherence to model clinical practice as a result of the utilization of the IT-enabled workflow. And finally, your use case should include data demonstrating a minimum of 1 year of improved patient outcomes as a result of the improved adherence to the model clinical practice. The call for submissions ends May 30th, 2019, and site visits will be completed by October 1st, 2019. For more information on the Davies program, contact Arnold Simmons at asimmons@hims.org for a pre-submission interview and a level-setting discussion. And again, Arnold's email address is asimmons@hims.org. We hope to hear from you soon. Our guest today is Dr. Jeannie McPeak Hintz. Dr. McPeak Hintz is the Associate CMIO at Duke University Health Systems. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right, if I call you Jeannie?
By all means.
Okay. So you're a Davies Award winner. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
That's a big accomplishment.
That was a long journey.
Can you tell us a little bit about what led to that award? What was the project that you worked on?
That project started back in 2014. I was a part of the Epic rollouts for Duke starting back in 2012. And after we had completed all of our major rollouts for Duke University Hospital and our two sister hospitals, we subsequently went and did a gap analysis with the goal of trying to be HIMSS Stage 7 across both our ambulatory and our hospital locations. I subsequently worked across multiple projects and multiple instances to get us to HIMSS Stage 7. And then we kind of completed that in, I think it was June of 2016 for our ambulatory site visit, and then January of 2017 for our acute visit. And after that, the next goal for that was to kind of see, we've done a lot of work across multiple projects. Can we evaluate whether we could be potentially at a HIMSS or at a Davies Award level?
So I'm just getting a Stage 7 as an accomplishment in and of itself.
And it took a long time, though.
Yeah. and people, just to clear up for our audience, once you're a Stage 7, that puts you in a position to do other things. So yeah. What was the driver behind looking and not resting on the laurels of a Stage 7 and saying, okay, what's next for Duke?
Really, I think part of what was driving that wasn't just an understanding that our ability to reach Stage 7 had really allowed us to do some really fantastic work that kind of utilized our technology to actually improve patient care and improve patient outcomes. And so we really kind of were going for the idea of the HIMSS Stage 7, or the Davies Award, was to kind of really highlight all of that work and show kind of those case studies that have been enabled because of our HIMSS Stage 7 kind of functionality.
Right. So it's like now we have this awesome toolbox, right? So what are we going to build with these tools?
Yes, I like that analogy.
Well, so what did you look to, and how did you identify your gaps and your target project?
So we had a committee that actually was across the health system and helped to kind of identify case studies that might be potentially of a Davies value. We subsequently used those groups to identify case studies and provide data, and we had a kind of long term, it took over multiple months to get that data back from various case studies and then identify, did we think that that was really representative of what we thought would be a good Davies submission.
So what did you land on?
We landed on three, the first of which was enhanced recovery after surgery. That's a project that we were able to decrease our readmission rates from around 10% to 7.5% and then to about 3.5% for patients that had major abdominal surgery, and also to decrease the readmission rates or decrease their other complications. So that was definitely a win, where patients were able to kind of get better care and better quality because of using all of the tools in the toolbox.
So what were your other two? And then we'll circle back and talk about that readmission case, because I think that's really interesting.
The second case was optical character recognition. And we chose that case because it was really a good example of being able to integrate our outside data for patients that have transplants, because our transplant patients, they come to Duke and they get their surgery, but then we have to monitor them for years afterwards. And they go back home, which is the good thing. That's what you want them to do. But they need to get monitored for like their organ function. And so they have to have labs. And so when we were bringing those back in, if you put them in a PDF, it's completely lost. You know, when a nurse needs to kind of follow up on that patient, she can go to the PDF, but she can't readily necessarily recognize, well, what were the patient's labs when they were at Duke? What are they now in the PDF? So we needed to come up with a format that actually pulled that into the to our health system. Optical character recognition really was the tool, and it's been outstanding in kind of improving that.
And your third case that you did, do you recall what that is?
So our third case was orthopedic care redesign, and that is where we were able to, across kind of the continuum of care, improve patients' outcomes for knee and hip replacements.
Nice. So as promised, let's go back to that first case on the readmission rates. So tell us a little bit more about how that came to be and what that really means, how you decided to use information and technology to attack that. Because those are impressive changes. Those are impressive reductions in readmissions.
Right. So I think to begin the story, you actually have to go back to 2009 when Dr. Thacker introduced the protocol for enhanced recovery after surgery. And that was for patients who are having major abdominal surgery and getting colostomies. So these are patients that are at that point in time had significant readmission rates around 20%. They had significant secondary complications such as UTIs. And by implementing just the protocol for enhanced recovery after surgery, they were actually able to decrease their readmission rates to around 10%. When we approached the group in about 2014, 2015, about the idea of, can we use our technology to improve kind of where you guys are at right now? Their initial thought was, we're doing good. There's nothing more than we can get. We're kind of at the top of our functioning. And that is where they kind of went through the care redesign process, and they subsequently kind of began to identify patients across the care continuum. And I think that that was really where the importance of where those wins came, where we got the decreases in the readmissions, was that all of the caregivers for a patient kind of understood across the care continuum what that patient needed, and made sure to kind of all work towards the same goal. So the enhanced recovery after surgery, while the surgeon would initially identify that patient, there wasn't a discrete data point in the electronic health record. So we added a discrete data point in the case request so that that could kind of travel with that patient over time. And that discrete data point was subsequently made visible in the pre-anesthesia testing area so that the anesthesiology group that was doing the evaluation for the patient could recognize that the surgeon had identified this patient for enhanced recovery. And that's really important for not only kind of their thought process about like how we're going to do surgery or kind of how we're going to do anesthesia, but also kind of how do you educate that patient. Other components of the enhanced recovery after surgery included education. So we gave patients educations on their iPhones so that they could kind of have a better understanding as well. And it's really important that you give it to them in a format that they could go back to over and over again. When you are having surgery, the first time you hear about these things, it's kind of sometimes hard to take it in. So you need to give it to patients in a format that kind of makes sense.
So enhanced recovery in this case isn't necessarily some kind of a treatment protocol. It's more a holistic approach to keeping that patient within some frame of tighter communication and education. Is that predominantly what it is?
That's a good question, but actually it's better than that. So it used to be like you had to fast overnight. And so patients would be potentially a little bit on the dehydrated side at the point in time that they have surgery. So they actually allow you to have like water up until like a few hours before surgery. Then the surgery usually was focused on using an epidural. So instead of having general anesthesia and having kind of a lot of that, those side effects of the general anesthesia, they used epidurals, which is just to kind of a pinpoint into your back and just makes you numb kind of from that area below. It's the same thing that they use for moms that are having babies and need a pain control. The benefit of that was that the epidural wears off faster and then you can get that patient up and walking, you know. So instead of like I'm sleeping for the next day or two because I had general anesthesia from a major surgery that lasted a number of hours, I'm up and walking at the end of the day. I think that a lot of the benefits to those patients were us kind of keeping them physiologically kind of closer to their norm and us not intervening as much medically.
Okay, so avoid big pendulum swings in their biology.
Yes.
I'm not a doctor, so I don't know what kind of term to use.
I believe they started feeding them earlier and getting them up and moving meant their bowels could start to kind of function a little bit faster.
Right.
Medically, kind of limiting things to the most what's medically needed to cover that patient's needs, but to not overdo it.
Yeah, I like the way you put it first, you know, just keeping them as close to their normal function as possible.
Yes.
So I want to take you backwards a little bit. You mentioned that when you first approached, so it sounds like the genesis of this was in the IT area, in the technology area. So the clinical side said, we're already doing a great job.
Were comparatively to where they had been previously.
Sure.
They really had been.
So how did you, was it a matter of convincing or was it persuasion or a combination? How did that work where they agreed, okay, let's try something?
So at Duke University, we have a program called Care Redesign that was really initiated and led by Tom Owens and George Cheeley, who's his kind of director of that program. And the idea is that we go program to program to program and do kind of a top to bottom evaluation and say, you know, how could we potentially do this better? How could we do this better with the technology that we have? And that was the genesis of kind of a lot of this improvements. I just told the point about where they were not quite sure that there was going to be anything beneficial for them. But the important part is that once we had done this for seen the significant decreases in readmissions with the colorectal patients, we subsequently extended that same program to 10 other surgical processes and saw almost all of them had significant drops in readmission rates as well. And so it's really like the technology is able to be exported over to other kind of surgical groups and to be able to see the same benefits.
So it's patient engagement, but at a real core level.
Yes. It's patient engagement. It's also provider caregiver engagement, because the caregivers understand what does this patient need. I know if I'm a nurse, because the nurses do a care plan for those ERAS patients, I need to have this patient up and walking by the end of the day. Like, that's one of my goals. And so we all are kind of making sure that they're all taking care of the patient in the manner that's expected or needed.
So tell me and our audience about what it was like when you were able to come back with numbers and say, okay, here's our new readmission rate, and it fell even more. What was that like?
So I can't take credit for any of that. That is work that our performance services group did. So that when I went back to like our committee, the committee kind of brought forward kind of examples. And so I'm giving you the story as I understand it, but I was actually kind of secondary to all of this. I didn't implement any of these things. I really kind of went out and got examples, and then we were able to kind of share that as a part of our Davies.
Was it very... It must have been very empowering, though, when the organization realized that this worked. Did you measure staff satisfaction? Did patient satisfaction improve? Were there savings? Was there anything like that that you could talk about?
There was definitely savings. A lot of them related to readmissions. There was definite patient satisfaction because I'm not down for as long and I'm feeling better faster. A lot of those things were measured. There were definitely savings in secondary infections. We saw decreases in urinary tract infections. The important thing is keeping that patient on that kind of physiologic norm meant that we didn't create all of those other secondary kind of unintended consequences and help them to get back to their baseline norm in a faster time frame.
Talk a little bit more about what the actual IT contribution was here. What role did the technology play?
So the technology played, the importance was in identifying that patient at the very beginning. So when the patient goes in and sees their doctor, the doctor says, okay, we need to do this major surgery on you. I think, though, that you're a good candidate for this enhanced recovery after surgery. When they put in the case request, the data is captured at that point in time that this is a patient that's going to need enhanced recovery. And that data point is then presented to the PAT clinic or the pre-anesthesia testing clinic as kind of a little ERAS by that patient's name so that they have an understanding kind of when they start their discussions with those patients, oh, this is a patient that's going to be on the ERAS protocol. Then when that patient shows up in the pre-op area on our track board, it also has ERAS there. So the nurse taking care of that patient right in pre-op knows that what this patient's going to get. The anesthesiologist also knows, oh, this is going to be an epidural. This is kind of like the format we're going down. And then when in the post-op area and the patient's on the floor, we have a BPA that fires for nurses if they haven't put in a care plan so that the ERAS care plan is initiated for those patients.
Is there any data yet that may have helped you change the criteria for determining who would be a good candidate? Has it expanded? Or is that still pretty narrow candidacy?
So that's a very good question. I'm not really sure. I think that you'd have to ask Dr. Thacker because she'd be the right person to ask those types of questions.
We'll have to get her on sometimes.
but I can say that we were able to extend that same process. So allowing, a prostatectomy, allowing some of these other pretty major surgeries, allowing those surgeons, so across different specialties. So it wasn't just the colorectal surgeons, that it was our GYN surgeons as well, had an ability to identify a patient and then follow those same protocols.
What I'd like to ask you at this point, is there something that you'd like to share with our audience about this or any other project that you're doing that you find fascinating, interesting, or that has really motivated the whole staff there or your patients?
The thing I feel like I've learned the most through the HIMSS Stage 7 and the Davies Award journey has been using data to understand where you're at, using that data to improve kind of caregiver, frontline care, subsequently feeding data back on how they're using those new protocols, and then kind of having ongoing presentation of that data back to the end users really improves the overall care of patients. I feel incredibly like I have taken a lot of that same format, and I am replicating it over and over and over again. So I'm incredibly grateful to have had the opportunity in my career to kind of have been at an organization that could do this and to step through this process.
Well, congratulations once again on your Davies win. That's a huge achievement. Well done. And it's actually benefiting many, many, many people and whole populations. So thank you very much for your efforts in that respect. Our guest has been Dr. Jeannie McPeak-Hintz. She's the Associate CMIO at Duke University Health Systems. Jeannie, thank you so much for joining us on our podcast.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
What could you do with your technology? Is your organization always asking itself, how to improve processes, protocols, and outcomes? What drives you to greatness? I'd like to thank our guest, Dr. Jeannie McPeak-Hintz, Associate CMIO at Duke University Health System, for joining us on this podcast. Kelly Lippitt is the Steps to Value story editor and guest relations expert. Steps to Value is a copyrighted production of HIMSS. HIMSS is a global voice, advisor, and thought leader of health transformation through health information and technology. With a unique breadth and depth of expertise and capabilities to improve the quality, safety, and efficiency of health, healthcare, and care outcomes. HIMSS designs and leverages key data assets, predictive models, and tools to advise global leaders, stakeholders, and influencers of best practices in health information and technology so they have the right information at the point of decision. HIMSS drives innovative forward thinking around best uses of information and technology in support of better connected care, improved population health, and low cost of care. I'm Rod Pihowski. See you next time on Steps to Value.